From the Mercy One Studio. Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish. Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists and Dream Dirt, Farm Real Estate and Auction Services.
Good morning. Welcome to Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 94.5 FM. Be Not Afraid, Father PJ, Father Fabian with you this morning. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Father.
Welcome to our show. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today, we move into the Luminous Mysteries. Father, continue our scriptural reflection about the Holy Rosary. It's a very interesting how through the hands and the voice of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we are close to Jesus Christ himself, and also help us to pray more devoutly each of these mysteries. So today in the Luminous Mysteries, we have the first one, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John. Prophesied by Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1, 6, and 7. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I informed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring our prisoners.
Isaiah is prophesying the liberation of the people, the final and definitive liberation of the people, which was initially accomplished by them passing through the waters of the Red Sea, but ultimately is given to us in a definitive way by passing through the waters of holy baptism.
Also, it's prefigured for the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, 4, 11, and 13.
Samuel did as the Lord commanded him, and Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" And Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest who is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him." And the Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The election or the choosing of David, God's choosing of David, is really a prefigurement. I call them movie trailers, right? They're like previews of what's to come, definitively in Christ Jesus, but also in as much as we share in the life of Christ for each one of us. So every time you and I baptize a baby, the same thing happens that happened with David that day at Jesse's house.
The second luminous mystery, the manifestation of Jesus at the wedding feast at Cana, prophesied by the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, 1 to 3, verses. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without pain and without cost. Drink wine and milk. You shall delight in rich fare. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David.
You know, the manifestation of Jesus at the wedding at Cana in the Galilee is I think one of the most misunderstood of his own miracles. People get that it shows his power, that he can do something that otherwise couldn't be done. But connecting it with this passage from Isaiah shows Jesus isn't simply slaking thirst or miraculously producing food after the manner of the prophets. That also happens. But he does something immediately, which should take a long time, right? Because wine takes time to make.
Absolutely.
And it has to, and it's alive, right? The wine is itself alive because of the yeast that turns the juice into alcohol. And so in important ways, the reason this manifests Jesus' identity is because Jesus gives life to the water that otherwise was still.
Wow. prefigured by the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22.
Once the inhabitants of the city complained to Elisha, "The water is bad and the land unfruitful. Bring me a new bowl," Elisha said, "and put salt into it." When they had brought it to him, and he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, "Thus says the Lord, I have purified this water," and the water stayed pure even to this day. You and I do this when we bless holy water, because we bless the exercise and bless the salt, and exercise and bless the water, after the pattern that the prophet gave us in the book of Kings. The move here is not that salt is always the best way to purify water. You can oversalt water and have a different problem, right? But that God takes that which is stagnant and makes it new. God takes that which is dead and gives it life.
If we make an parenthesis for a quick catechesis point, Father, difference between blessing the water
right.
and exercise the water. Now, also, the blessed water needs to be exercised as well.
So they're really sort of different kinds of holy water for different purposes, and
okay.
that's the issue. You know, the holy water is holy because of its connection to baptism, because of its connection to Christ's baptism. Christ sanctifies the water by his going down into it.
By himself.
That's it. And so in that way, all water becomes holy by Christ's immersion in the Jordan. But what happens in the life of the church is that we designate particular waters for particular purposes. And it's not simply a matter of there being exercised and blessed holy water after the manner of the previous rites or the baptismal water that we use now. There's water for different feasts, and that's no accident because water serves different purposes at different times in our life. And so it's important to see in the Old Testament use of the water this sort of intuition about what ultimately God is doing, the recognition that water cleanses, water heals, water in the flood can destroy, is really, it makes it the great sign of God's power, which is why the turning of the water into wine at Cana shows God's power even over the elements.
Remember that we are in Iowa Catholic Radio, Be Not Afraid, Father PJ, Father Fabian.
Thank you, Dream Dirt Farm Real Estate and Auction, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio and Be Not Afraid. Dream Dirt Farm Real Estate and Auction is a licensed, accredited, and experienced farm brokerage and auction company. Learn more at dreamdirt.com, including their online auction house, FarmBid, at bid.dreamdirt.com. Dream Dirt Farm and Equipment Auction Services, farm auctions done right.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Their number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
Thank you, Bless Me International, for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Everyone lives their life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. How we use that time directly affects if our life will leave a significant impact or not. Each year, Blessment International leads Central Iowans on a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmentinternational.org. That's blessmentinternational.org.
Is it time for a new roof? Then it could be time for you to get to know Bell Construction. Bell Construction is a roofing company entering its 30th year of business. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid through Iowa Catholic Radio. We are meditating that luminous mystery, the third luminous mystery, the proclamation of good news of the kingdom by Jesus, prophesied by Book of Deuteronomy 18, chapter 17 to 19 verses. The Lord said to Moses, "This was well said. I will rise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen, and will put my words into his mouth. He shall tell them all that I command him. If any man will not listen to my words which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it."
So Moses is, of course, the preeminent of the prophets, the great teacher of Israel. He gives the law on a mountain. Jesus fulfills everything that it meant to be Moses and more. He gives his great sermon on the mountain, and so offers a new law in the Beatitudes and a new way of being. Moses formed the people Israel. Christ forms his people, the church, the new Israel.
Prefigured from the same book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15, 16, 19, 20, 31, and 1.
"I have set today before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, loving him and walking in his ways, your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. Choose life, then, that you and your descendants may live, by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice, and holding fast to him." So this is the line that Moses gives as he delivers the law. And the Lord Jesus speaks similarly as he delivers the new law on the Mount of the Beatitudes.
Again, in the many moments of the Holy Scripture, if you obey, sometimes it's a little bit tricky to follow up that expressions. So we have the fourth luminous mystery, that transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain, prophesied by prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, 1, 5 to 6. "The people who walketh in darkness have seen a great light. A son is given us, upon his shoulder dominion rest. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, from David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever."
This passage from Isaiah is most familiar to us in the context of Advent and Christmas, because it's a great prophecy of Christ's coming, and even the language here, right, gets taken up into what we think of as Christmas carols, right? But the move here, which is very, very significant, is that all of that is not obvious in a baby in a hay trough. It becomes much more obvious in the man transfigured, his divinity shining forth on top of the mountain.
Prefigured by the book of Exodus, chapter 34, 30 and 34.
"When Aaron then and the other Israelites saw Moses and noticed how radiant the skin of his face had become, they were afraid to come near him. And whenever Moses entered the presence of the Lord to converse with him, the Israelites would see that the skin of Moses' face was radiant." So Moses, again, gives us a kind of a preview of what's ultimately going to happen with the Lord Jesus, that when grace shines through our bodies, you can actually see a difference. They call the monks on Mount Athos the beautiful old men, because even though they're old and they have craggy faces and long beards, there's a luminosity, a radiance about them that otherwise wouldn't be there. When you see pictures of Mother Teresa, you see something of the same thing. In another context, she just looked like another wrinkled old woman. But because of what's happening with her, there's a presence in her and about her that even photographs capture.
Beautiful. So we have the last luminous mystery, the institution of the Eucharist and the last Passover of Jesus, prophesied by Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers. They broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God. I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more."
So what the covenant does with Israel in general, right, is it sort of cancels out what went wrong and establishes them in a new relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And what Jeremiah prophesies is a day when a new covenant will be made, that won't be like the former covenant. It's not going to be just for Israel. It's going to be for everybody, and it will cancel out their sins, which is a very, very different kind of a thing than giving you prescriptions to not do so that you know that you're not sinning. And so ultimately what the prophet is offering is the hope of something that will be for all people and that will finally set us to rights with God.
Prefigured by the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verses 18 to 20.
Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And being a priest of God Most High, he blessed Abram with these words, "Blessed be Abram by God the Most High, the creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your foes into your hand." And then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, is one of the only people in the scriptures with no parentage. He's not Melchizedek, the son of somebody. He's okay. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. Uh-huh. The Salem, or Shalom, is peace. So Melchizedek is the king of peace. So he's a king who is also a priest who offers a sacrifice of bread and wine. And the people offer a portion of their harvest, as it were, of their take, as a way of participating in the sacrifice of bread and wine, which are offered by the priest King Melchizedek. When you and I were ordained, the antiphon which was sung was, "Thou art a priest forever, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek," from Psalm 110. And it's the church's clear connection that what happens the night of the Last Supper fulfills the Passovers of old and ultimately establishes the covenant which the prophets had called for, which would last forever.
Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Catholic Tuition Organization.
Your support of CTO provides qualifying families tuition assistance to send their kiddos to our Catholic schools. They benefit, and you benefit, with 65% Iowa tax credits. Online at ctoiowa.org.
Until December 15th, contributions from new donors are matched. New donors double their impact with a donation to CTO, thanks to the Reichhardt Family Foundation.
The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
Programming support for Catholic Women Now is provided by Iowa's injury attorney, Fred Haas. For over 30 years, Fred Haas has helped injured Iowans recover financial, physical, and emotional losses from car, truck, and motorcycle accidents, work-related injuries, and injuries due to negligence. Most importantly, providing the professional, personal, and responsive legal counsel that everyone deserves. Fred Double D, Haas Double A, the Des Moines Law Offices of Fred Haas. While we have time, let us do good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid through Iowa Catholic Radio. So, Father, we are finished the whole reflection of the mystery of the Holy Rosary. But this Sunday, the 30th Sunday of Ordinary Time, St. Matthew in the chapter 22, verses 34 to 40, give us a tremendous encouragement to live our first commandment.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and prophets depend on these two commandments." You know, when I was the work that I've done with the Anglican Ordinariate, in their liturgy, the penitential rite at Mass is introduced with this.
Uh-huh.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith, and then they repeat that passage. But the way they translate the last line, I love, the whole law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
Oh,
isn't that a beautiful imagery? Like,
yes.
Like everything rests on this working. And it's important for us, right? Because we tend, especially religious people, we tend to get real fixed on exactly how to do the religious-y things, which is important, but can very easily cause people to lose sight of charity. You know, I've got a broken foot right now, and it's been broken for several months now, and it's affected my back and the way that I have to operate even at the altar because I can't move the way that I normally would. And so by the end of a day, especially a Sunday, where I've said three or four masses, I have to hold on to the altar with one hand to be able to keep myself upright and then do the stuff with the other.
You're hanging the altar.
I'm hanging on
the
altar. That's it. That's exactly it. And so this is the image that I want in our reader's head, right? We're hanging on God's altar, on the place of the sacrifice offered by the priest King Melchizedek.
Wow.
We're hanging on the two great commandments that Christ has given. We're hanging on everything prophesied, everything prefigured, everything hoped for by all peoples from all time, fulfilled ultimately in the person of Christ Jesus.
It's beautiful to use the analogy, the hanging, because hanging means also and secure, safe, you are not alone. So the Lord is with you all the time. Beautiful analogy. But also we have certain debates, so which one is more fulfillment, obedience to God? Praise God totally, and what about my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
No, because we fell down in this dilemma sometimes.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's the Martha Mary dilemma, right?
Exactly,
so
which
do I be?
You're right.
And of course, what the Lord points to is that the dilemma, while it might be emotionally difficult or something at particular points, it's ultimately false. Love of God should simply overflow into love of neighbor. Love of neighbor should be reflected of love of God, but these shouldn't really be in competition with each other. If God's the one who puts the neighbor in your way, then clearly you're not loving him by rejecting his will and wanting to spend your time praying or something, which is not obviously to say that prayer isn't important, but each thing has its proper place, and where we fall into sin is when we lose sight of the proper place of the things in our lives.
Will be a complete scenario if we find the face of our Lord Jesus Christ in each of our neighbors. Help us to be a little bit more prudent,
mm-hmm.
especially to don't react against a human being that are exactly on my condition as a God's creation, you know?
One of my favorite penances to give in the confessional is when a person is struggling very much with another person, I will send them into the adoration chapel, and I will tell them to sit there and imagine the face of the person they're upset with or having trouble with at work or at home or whatever in the monstrance. Try and see their face there.
In the monstrance.
Because if they can see the person that they're struggling with in the Lord Jesus, then they'll be able, when they encounter that other person, to see the Lord Jesus in the other person.
Another one is how we express an alive charity.
Right.
Not by words or by intention, but also living in completely charity. So we are approaching also the end of the months of October and Halloween coming.
Mm-hmm.
So how we can manage an a Christian Catholic Halloween?
So, you know, Halloween is in its origin a Christian feast. There's a coincidental attachment to Samhain, but it's not, this isn't a pagan feast that got gussied up, and that's really, really important. For us, this attaches ultimately to the communion of saints, life of holiness. Some of the, you know, I think with Halloween, it's important to avoid two extremes. One is anything that looks like Halloween, the moment that I say that word, whatever comes into your head, that's all bad and occult and nasty, and you shouldn't have anything to do with it. The other is that it doesn't matter what you read or watch or how you spend your time. Neither of those is really true. The one's overshot, the one's undershot. So that the middle way for the faithful Christian is to, of course, focus your activities on the liturgical cycle itself. So, you know, what we ought to be doing Halloween night is praying, because it's the vigil of All Saints.
Absolutely.
Now, does that mean that the only thing that we can do is, you know, dress our kids up like the little flower and trot them around the neighborhood to poke fun at the people that have their kids in skeletons. No, that like that, there's a kind of uncharity that can attach to that as well. And there is, in our own tradition, this practice of telling ghost stories and even of grotesque imagery. But what it's ultimately pointing us to, and the reason it attaches to All Saints, is the incarnation. God works in real physical things, real physical people, real physical actions. And so celebrations, eating and drinking and fasting and feasting, that's just part and parcel of the Christian life. What's not is dabbling in the diabolical, the dark side of the supernatural, all of that stuff. That's where things go awry.
Father, approaching ending our program this Tuesday, I encourage you to send us with blessing and protection about these current circumstances around the world.
May the Lord, who reconciles all things to himself, reconcile you and your families and the whole world, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish. Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists and Dream Dirt, Farm Real Estate and Auction Services.